Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is a New World Order. Welcome and good evening. A New World Order is a nation simulator. We use the online nation states simulator, nationstates.net, to run countries, address policies, and spout out all our political know-how because we know politics.
It's true. We know politics.
Yes, we do.
I'm close and personal friends with politics.
Yep. I know my politics.
I am here with my two colleagues from across the seas, one dressed in black and the other dressed in black.
That's correct.
Sort out amongst yourselves of the two you are.
I'm wearing khaki pants. Does that count?
I'm Chancellor Zane C. Weber of the National Council of Zane Australia.
Oh, that's it? Oh, hi. Guys, it's me, Sebastian.
You all have stolen my with my colleagues from across the sea, one who is and the other yeah. who is. So I've got nothing after I say that.
Yeah, it's true. It's me. You're the better one, Sebastian, of the fearsome but approachable World America.
Don't you mean Tax America?
I think we established in the last episode, I'm actually the weird middle ground between us. I mean, I'm definitely more towards the Zane side of things. Actually, no, you're like 60%, I'm 30, and you're 5. I'm dead set the middle ground.
But you're the one
Look
that's
at me,
pro-
Mr. Moderation.
But you're the one that's pro tax.
Yeah. Okay, we're all pro tax.
I at least you can't recognize wait. The problem my nation has with tax.
If your nation has a problem with tax, I have half a problem with tax. Let's be very clear about that.
And I am Andy Schossler, the most supreme magnificent overlord of everything you ever saw in the Great Confederacy of Andropolia. If you haven't listened to this show before, do.
The end.
Welcome to the party. Hang on.
Here there we go. There is 120 episodes for you to catch up on.
But I appreciate you picking this one as your first one. That was a brave choice in a numbered series. You did it, but yeah, go back.
Well, as a consequence of our episode 100, aliens have gifted us with the gift of mind swaps. Mm. Every 5 episodes, we draw randomly who is going to be running each of the nations. Sometimes we have gotten our own.
I think
Zane has drawn Sub-America 3 times in a row now.
Zane has won the proverbial lottery. That you know you won the lottery because I'm controlling your nation.
It's true. The stakes are virtually non-existent for Zane because I can't do anything worse than what Seb has done.
What's he going to do, improve my nation? It's impossible
to be. He can't delete the internet twice.
So every 5 episodes is our Patreon episode where we wrap up this interim little sub-season of particular mind swaps and just generally have a bit of a rant. Your support would be greatly appreciated, but not mandatory to listen to the other episodes, of course.
No, it is actually mandatory. I passed that law 3 episodes ago.
You're taxed if you don't.
Absolutely, and taxed at a slightly higher rate than you'd be used to in Australia.
Okay, I have an issue.
And I've got a solution. Wait, nope.
Nope. And it.
That's true. That was the last one. All right, well, I will definitely just... I'm still listening, guys.
Okay. Mad peacock disease outbreak.
Oh, dear.
Tens of thousands of peacocks all over Zane Australia have been found to have contracted the fatal and highly contagious mad peacock disease, destroying livestock and causing widespread panic after evidence that the disease is transmissible to your citizens is released.
This is bad news.
4 options. Option number 1. I'm afraid this is terrible news, says Sierra Bell, my minister of dreaded lurgies. All these animals must be culled at once to prevent contamination of our food stocks and to stop the disease from spreading citizens, it'll be a bit of a blow for the food industries, what with all their livelihood being destroyed. But it is the only way.
Well, yeah, it's one evil versus another one. If you don't cull the animals, then the disease will spread.
Correct.
Unless you quarantine everybody, which is just as bad, because then nothing gets done.
Option number two. We've got to look at this in the long term, says Ashley Grossman, a rustic farmer. How will we farmers survive when we've got nothing to sell? I'd suggest putting more tax frugals into that whatchamacallit medical research thingy so we can find a cure. Because if we don't, it'll just come round again and we'll all be in the same sticky mess. In the meanwhile, we should just hold a fort, if you know what I mean. Import some peacocks from abroad. No one need to know. Yeah, he has me until the cover-up. right at the end there.
Are Zane Australian raised peacocks a particular delicacy?
You can eat them.
So what would be wrong with importing them?
No, so that no one need to know is that the thing. So we'll just cull the Australian livestock.
Yeah.
We'll import those and no one needs to know that there was ever a problem. We'll just pass them off as Zane Australian livestock.
Well, yeah. Do you think it's important that everybody know the minutiae of every industry and all the
if they're near interested, I think they should be able to find out. Yeah,
but should it be announced? That's what I think he's saying. Is that it's yeah, not, I think it's so. Not necessarily,
especially if there is a disease that can be transmitted to humans from this particular livestock. Mm-hmm. If there is a chance of that, and people want to do their research, I think they definitely have the right to. That to be as easily accessible as possible.
But he's not suggesting to cover it up. He's merely saying, let's import peacocks and not announce that this thing ever got this close to a disaster. He's not suggesting to never mention it.
I think that
it implies a cover up.
I think that neglecting to inform people is one very small shuffle step away from lying to them.
That's true, but then what else do you need to tell them? And if you tell somebody,
well,
hey,
literally everything. Like that's ideally, Zane Australia is transparent.
Hey guys, there was a massive outbreak of bird flu in these peacocks. These ones don't have it, so you can continue to eat peacocks because we fixed the problem by importing peacocks. These ones don't have it. Absolutely not. Do you think peacock sales will suffer in any way if you do that? Absolutely, and unnecessarily, and because there is no problem.
Well, how do we know that there's not a problem?
He's not proposing a cover-up where he sells dead birds, dead infected birds, as if they hadn't been infected. He's just saying, let's not mention that there was ever an infestation and we'll
what
replace
I'm saying,
the birds.
If you want the government to do this, the government isn't going to hide the fact of what they're doing for the sake of your profit margins.
Okay.
Because if people want to be 100% sure that they're not going to get this disease by not eating peacock, they have that right, I
sure.
think.
Sure, okay.
It's their right as a consumer.
That's fine. But wouldn't they carry the liability as the suppliers?
People will still die.
People will still die, but at least they'll be liable for it. So that...
But that's the thing. Like I don't... If someone loses a mother to mad peacock disease...
No, I'm not suggesting that in any way makes it right. The point of liability is to curtail bad behaviour.
Yeah, and I'm saying the government is not going to be involved with that
okay,
sort of behaviour.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Option number three. You can call that an answer to short-term problems. Us Elmo Myers, a likewise rustic farmer. It can take months and months to find a vaccine, you know. The meat industry will still take a hit, and I just don't have the resources to see me and my kids through this kind of financial upheaval. I reckon the government folks should go ahead with a culling idea and compensate us farmers for our losses. That is a lot cheaper than putting all our money into tests that most likely won't work, don't you think?
That's so true. You don't know what the research is going to uncover. You don't know if there is a cure. So
basically, cull the stock, pay the farmers,
yeah,
and hope that doesn't happen again.
That's fair. If the government is going to say we're going to cull this, that they should be compensated for it.
I don't see how that is different to option number two, except we don't research a vaccine. Option number two is literally we're replacing your livestock and researching a vaccine. Option number three is we're not doing a vaccine and we're not replacing your livestock, but we're paying you for the livestock that you lost.
But you didn't like number two because it implied a cover-up.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's also direct action to stop this from happening again. Whereas option number three, like, if you miss a couple of animals...
That's true.
It'll happen again, and then you have to do the whole thing again.
But number one is proposing the worst of both those. Not only no research, but also no compensation.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Option number four. Wait a minute, interrupts Kitty Tesla, a querimonious taxpayer. Why do I have to pay a burden because all of these pointless animals are going to die? I suggest we do nothing. Let them die off or just sell them. I mean, it's a bit much when the government starts saying what we can or cannot put in our refrigerators, isn't it?
So that's just ignoring a problem?
Yeah. Like,
and hoping that it goes away?
Let the disease spread as it will.
Yeah.
That's why I don't understand. If there is a measles outbreak, you let people know that there's a measles outbreak so they can stop it. If it's just a let the animals do what they want and keep selling their meat.
Yeah, that's not going to ease the burden on public health.
Yes. So, I mean, option number two is where Zane Australia lies. Option number three is fine, but it's not ideal because I feel that you're not doing any research into...
Well, two and three are essentially the same.
Yeah.
But two is an indirect compensation in the form of...
replacement, yeah.
Some sort of longevity, you know, investigating, you know, how to avoid this process or vaccinate against it in the future or genetically modify against it for the future, however. But both of those revolve around compensation. Number one is just about immediately addressing the public health concern by culling all the...
It's just culling the livestock. The this is the Britain... This is what Britain did with mad cow.
Yeah.
Is they just got rid of all the livestock and farmers had to suck it, basically. Well, there were small amounts of compensation, but it was pretty devastating.
It devastating, but it's a good response as far as public health is concerned because
of course,
it stopped the spread. And you can address compensation and research down the line. That doesn't... But the culling, whether or not it happens, has to be addressed immediately.
And so option number two, you get the cull, the farmers are happy, and you do the research.
Yeah.
All that is encompassed in that one. So obviously that's going to be the most expensive one.
But it comes at the cost of no public mention of there ever being a problem. No public acknowledgement, I guess.
And that is the problem that Zane Australia has with this.
Don't think that's a problem.
Well, okay. Well, is that the one you're going for?
I will go with number two, so you can select it and fire it up. But as far as announcing that there was nearly a devastating, awful thing that happened, but we fixed it, I think that just spreads unnecessary panic.
I mean that that's totally fine. It's just who gets to make that choice of what information is made public and what information isn't.
I know, but essentially if one day you are nearly faced with disaster and the next day it's been fixed and there is no disaster anymore, what do you achieve by telling people there was nearly a disaster?
Yeah.
And it wasn't through somebody's actions that the bird flew. It's a natural phenomenon. Act
Bless
of God.
Yeah. millions of frugals have been thrown into a project to find the cure for mad peacock disease. Demonstration ends in reasonable discussion and handshakes. Another team builds another deep space exploration rocket and public school scores top honours. Biggest up is public health care at 2.1%. Everything else below 1%. Those include public education, government size, taxation, intelligence, economic output, average income, scientific advancement and pacifism. Biggest down is weaponization at 6.7%.
Interesting.
Everything else less than 1%. Those include average disposable income, welfare, agriculture. Agriculture didn't take a big hit here. It was just 0.19%.
Maybe the weaponization went down because the farmers no longer have animals to kill?
Maybe.
And they need...
replace the animals.
Replace the animals. Yeah, but now they don't need to kill them.
Yeah,
I guess. At least immediately. But they do need to feed themselves, so they're selling off their guns.
Yeah, so cheese exports, public transport is down, safety and employment.
Right.
Yeah, that's so good. Some weird numbers there, but nothing too devastating for Zane Australia.
Hey Zane, you like space, don't you?
I do. I do like space.
Want a space issue?
Sure.
It's got orbitable Armageddon.
Okay.
Once again, I've not proof read this one.
Are
so
you
I
elevating
just
your sky cities?
I hope
so. To tropospheric cities?
Orbitable Armageddon. It sounds like a space-based weapon.
Oh, I'm assuming a meteor was going to come kill us too. Oh. That could work. But I've not read it, so... The Space Research Organization in World America has requested more government funding for space-related research and development, and possibility of creating orbitable weapon platforms. Yep, has become a topic of intense debate. Wow, yeah, okay, not where I saw this one going.
You'd be safe in your bunker, even from misfiring.
Except in your cloud cities, that would be pretty prone.
Yeah, they are like our first front shield from space fire. General Ed Wiener says... We should spend more, but not just on exploration. We should start developing orbitable weapons, space marines, armed spacecraft. We would rule this region and look so cool doing it. Just divert some funding from environmental protection and bam, sci-fi goodies. Ooh, that's going to shock you. I'm against that option.
Really? Why? You're against spending money?
No, I'm against taking the money from environmental protections to spend money on a space force.
Ah, you want a new tax to fund the orbital...
100% yes.
But Sam, there has been nukes being thrown around.
That's true. It's no longer safe.
It's a dangerous world.
You need to build up your defences.
I'm still no military, so I feel pretty safe. No one to misfire a gun in this town.
I pray for a situation where you are running Andropolia and they are in direct conflict with Submerica.
We would never allow that. Noted scientist and pacifist writer Kim Dodinas? Yeah, sure. Thinks otherwise. No! Space is a place for peace. It's the only place left we've got that we haven't screwed up. Oh, and the space program still needs funding. Don't get me wrong, but none of this military stuff in space will do. We ought to divert funding from the military to education and space research instead. Without even reading the third and final option, I'm really behind that one.
Wait, you're against taking money out of environmentalism, but yep. You're for taking money out of the military?
I'm actually confused as to what money
which
out of the military.
Which you have cut down quite substantially.
I believe you have a negative military score.
Yeah, I want to see how low we can go. Final option. Fringe group leader Randy Lee disagrees. Space is a total waste of time. We should spend more on stuff people actually care about, like protecting the environment. Forget that fancy schmancy space nonsense. Here we have it. Three options that I'm all okay with, because Zane's either going to give me a space military, which I don't want, mind you, but that's funny if he does it, or we pull.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
More money from the military to make space exploration happen and add some environmental protections, or we just spend money on the environment. This is the opposite of the last scenario I had to deal with for Andrew, where there was nothing but good options on the table. Zane, carte blanche, my friend, please.
Okay. The Zane Australian option is obviously option number two. But the Submerican option, I think, is option number three.
No, the Submerican option is option two. Because option three is saying to these people they can't do their fun thing, whereas option three is taking
away...
What
do you mean they can't do their fun thing? If people want to go to space, they can pay to go to space.
I think we all know the American option is definitely taking away from the military and spending elsewhere.
Multi-headed radioactive dogs roaming about your wilderness.
Yep.
You need, and your environmentalism needs some help.
And I agree. And option two has a boost both to the environment and to space and takes away from the military. I'll take option three, but I'm just the idea that taking away from the military is un-Submerican is absolute poppycock, and know it.
What I'm saying is you need military because nukes are being thrown
around. Well, I've already got no military anyway.
And that's why I'm not going to take away from nothing and make it even less than nothing.
I'm happy for three. Option one was my least favorite option because it was literally
fuck
the environment.
Option number three, unless anyone's vetoing.
No, I'm happy with it.
Because you still have uranium problems, right?
I mean, I think
you still haven't recovered from that big dive.
It is going up, but it was one of those hits that it's like a great wall. It just went straight down.
Well,
to the
this
bottom.
Is a great topic. This let's pump into environment.
Yeah, no,
but I think Andy's thinking about vetoing.
That's fine. Because you know, if I get a space military, you'll be the first to find out how it works, right? So option three?
Yeah, option number three.
Loading very slowly.
Funding the environment over space exploration.
The space program has been scrapped in order to focus on more terrestrial pursuits. Policy abolished. Space program. Because I had one.
I think the space program is going to be hard if you don't have an internet.
I already had a space program. You just got rid of it. Because I had done it previously.
Obviously, your internet wasn't up to scratch.
I hate to be the voice of reason here, but humans made it to space, to the moon, to most of the planets, as far as robot exploration was concerned, without the internet.
Yeah, but can you imagine a space weapons system that is reliant on a person being in the actual capsule the whole time making those decisions?
No, you can.
Can you imagine that person?
You can have a remote connection. It doesn't have to be a person
in the success of almost every mission outside the Earth's atmosphere before the invention of the internet and radio communications was entirely on the skills of the astronauts.
No, there was constant contact. I mean, all the unmanned missions to the planets and all this, how do you think that was achieved? That was all done. You know, we made it out of the solar system before 1990. No, when did Voyager pass?
Like Neptune? 2 years ago.
No.
Yeah, it only just left the solar system.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it passed Pluto, but then it's still inside the solar system.
It passed Neptune because New Horizons was the first craft to make it.
Guys, this is all about world America. Stop talking your fantasy nonsense. Okay, so eco-friendliness up 32%. Now, Zane, I actually feel... I know your intentions were good, but what you did has gone the backwards result of what you pitched.
Oh, no.
So primitiveness was up 24%, and we'll go into the downs to see more. Tourism up 13, cheese exports up 10, blah, 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 blah. As for the downs, so scientific advancement down 32%. That makes sense because you just cut industry. But more just so, space. Defense forces down 12% because you cut an industry that was run by the military. So death rate is down 9% though, which is nice.
Why is space exploration being run by your military?
Because they're not soldiers; they're military. They can't use a tank, so they'll use them on rockets instead, I assume.
Yeah, right.
Death rate down 9, which is good. Charmlessness down 7. You actually made people stupider though, because intelligence went down 4%. Yep.
Fewer books being published.
Oh, sad though.
Yeah, but I did get this lovely thing saying "Clean Up World America Day is no mess." So I'm assuming we're very clean now.
Well, that's why tourism is up.
We're rich and stupid.
Well, speaking of the rich and stupid,
can't wait.
In the past few months, there have been a series of high-profile car accidents involving elderly citizens.
Oh no!
They're gonna have to lock them up in some sort of
ban-aged people.
I've had it with the elderly.
Banned numbers last week. This wouldn't be an issue.
Roars angry motorist Elmo Snape, whose car recently lost a wing mirror to a near-blind senior. It's high time the government did something about this. Make all the elderly citizens retake their driving tests every 5 years from age 60 so that granddads don't go killing someone that his old eyes can't even see.
Seems perfectly reasonable. Why don't you want that?
I am in favour of retesting everybody every year.
But in lieu of that option being given...
Bureaucrat. Bureaucrat.
If you're going to implement a system where you're retesting drivers because of safety concerns, then that should be universally applied.
Okay. But in the assumption that that's not on the table, this option is okay?
Well, it's...
Or would you rather all of it or none of it? Because
No. It assumes that there is a part of competency to driving that is based on age. And... driving competency, I would argue, is age is one of the concerns down the list, because some people are just very aggressive drivers, and that makes them much more dangerous than someone who is just old and can't see as well. So age is not an important, not the most important factor as far as competency on the road is concerned. Now you listen here, dearie, interjects your aged grandmother, who has complained way past your receptionist and your guards. I didn't work my stockings off when I was younger just so I could have my rights taken away. Your grandfather fought in a war back in...
July.
Maybe, he didn't. I can't remember. Anyway, you've got to show some respect for my generation. Do it for Granny, won't you?
Well, to be fair, given the lifespan of people in your nation, she's probably one of four people this applies to anyway. So, I mean, like, four dangerous drivers is a better stat than what we have in theory with all the elderly drivers, right, Zane?
Sure.
Yeah.
So option one sets a floor for the mandatory retesting of holders of driver's licenses. Number two says, nah, not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And number three.
Is this the final option?
Of three.
Okay.
Oi, let me talk, yells Dan Jerris, a youth who recently drove his hatchback into the back of your sharp... into the back of a sharply braking nonagenarian's camper van. These old crones shouldn't be allowed on the road, full stop. Just look at what they did to my car. You should ban anyone over the age of 50 from driving. Leave the roads to responsible, younger people. Again, that's just setting some arbitrary limit and saying, after this age, you can't drive.
So the rational human in me says option one is allowing everyone to continue driving up to a point that they are no longer deemed competent to do so. It does.
Yeah.
Do so from an ageist perspective, but if they're competent, they can still drive.
But it assumes that once you pass your test, you will retain that competency
for 5 years
up until age 60. No, no.
Oh, you
because
mean,
the retesting starts after age 60.
Yes, and I will agree that that is kind of unfair, but the issue that I'm being presented with is there is a lot of accidents coming from people over a certain age.
Okay.
So responding to that directly, I can't respond to them all because
the
question
true.
Won't let me.
Yep.
So option one feels like the most reasonable because it does let people that are safe to drive, with that caveat of that age, continue to do so, and those that aren't, not.
It is merit-based. It's not universally applied, but it is merit-based, yes.
So that's where I'm thinking. Sub-America, it's tough, because in Sub-America, it's do what you want unless you're causing harm to somebody else. So we would go option two, but we would, penalize the shit out of them if they cause an accident that they, in that case there, because they were incompetent and shouldn't have been doing something. It's their choice, but God help you if you hurt someone else doing so.
I know this is just a fun whatever game, but it would be really nice to have statistics on what is already being done and how it's already being managed and punished. If it's simply a problem that there are a lot of elderly people involved in accidents, but they're insured and all it ends up being is an inconvenience for people who have to hire a car or whatever, but it's all being sorted and all above board, then that's not really something that needs to be legislated away.
Can I safely assume that you would rather option one out of all these?
There is a part of me that wants number two. Once you pass your driving test, that's it. You get it. But I think that's a flawed system. And I would, in fact, be in favour, even personally, me right now, of retesting all drivers all the time.
Yeah.
Like every 5 years, to renew your licence, you have to go for another test.
We do have a version of that today. It's not through retesting, but people that have proven to be unsafe drivers through policing,
if
lose
you lose
their
your
licenses.
That's right.
There is means to take certain unsafe drivers off the road,
but to get their license back, do they have to go through the learner system all over again?
Depends on how you've lost it, I would assume.
Or do they simply... That's a very interesting question.
Yeah.
We should ask Gina's dad.
Yes.
He would know.
Sure, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Or the internet.
I know most people that I've known who have had their licenses suspended, they're normally just like, for a duration of time, and then it's back.
The suspension is different from
losing
your license altogether. Yeah.
All right. I mean, I think option one's pretty safe. I don't feel like anyone's rights are being encroached. If they're safe to drive, they will be continued to be able to drive.
Yeah. I think number one is an incomplete proposal.
Yeah. I do agree. You could definitely broaden its scope and it wouldn't be too bad because, once again, it's not saying no to everyone. It's just saying if you can't do it properly, then no, which is fair.
But again, if you're going to make it merit-based, then make it merit-based for everybody. Make everybody, you know, responsible to continually prove that they're safe drivers or competent drivers at least.
Locker in, option one.
Old dogs don't have to learn new tricks, but they have to prove they haven't forgotten old ones, which is fair. That's exactly what we want to know. And driving laws change as well. Of course, you should be retested on that. It shouldn't be assumed that somebody who took their driving test 60 years ago will be up to date just because they've been constantly driving the whole time. They can be ignorant. Mm. The Andropoli Sentinel reports national parks proving popular. Most supreme magnificent overlord honoured with a new statue. Ugh, I'm going to have to open a new street for all my statues. Surprise jump in insurance sales. Fear. And economics, not everything, government says. So insurance is the big winner this week, up 9.5%. Lifespan, up 1%. Gentlemen, we are...
52?
In the low mid-50s, we are 53.5.
Hooray!
On lifespan.
We did it together.
Do you know what you are, Sam?
Let me find out.
Let's check it. I'd be very interesting to see
I know
that.
Mine took a... back in the day, but mine took a huge hit with the nuclear thing, and it's been a slow climb, but let me get it up.
And environmental beauty up 0.5%. As far as the downtrends are concerned, the death rate is down 0.5%. Obesity down 1.5%. That's good, although I don't see how it's related, but fine.
Maybe fewer drivers, more walking.
Perhaps, if people are being... Yeah, but they're already elderly.
They can still be obese.
That's true.
Oh, actually, my license has been climbing. Sorry, I do apologize. Mine started off really low. I just made a missed fact. We'll get into the exactities.
Manufacturing as a sector is down 5.5%, and automobile manufacturing down 100%.
100%.
This one implementation has, again, gutted auto manufacturing in Andropolia, which
made
up...
Who knew that old people licenses, the one life string...
Apparently, only old people were driving in Andropolia, and it completely gutted the auto industry. That is...
Well, they're more likely to be buying like higher-end cars as well, I'd assume, assuming they've made some money.
That's unexpected.
With all that tax they weren't paying.
Who knows?
Yeah, or it's younger people who are driving are demanding foreign imports. They don't like the...
They saw Tokyo Drift, and they want one of them...
Yeah.
Tokyo car, I've not seen it.
They don't like
time.
Locally manufactured cars. Which
one
is
of them yellow cars.
One of them yellow Japanese cars, right?
Sure. So Australia is bottom out in lifespan. Very early on at 58.74 years.
I was 58.5 years. So we started off pretty much the same spot.
Well, no, I started off at 59.5 and had a small drop early on. Then a fairly big jump to up over 67 in about a month. And there's been a steady climb since then to our current top of 74.4.
Oh, you got ages on me. I started on 58.5 and my current top, 64.7.
Hmm.
So Andropolia started off with a lifespan expectancy of 62.5, peaking... Peaking at 63.5. Shortly after that. The lowest was 42.6.
Oof. Oh, that's caveman level.
And we are sitting at a near recent high of 53.55. It has been as high as 55 in the last few weeks, but also as low as 48.
Wow.
So it's jumps around. As you can see, it's jumped up quite a bit recently.
Yeah, weird.
Maybe the Bureau of Statistics in Andropolia just has a lot of staff turnover, and there's no consistency in the reporting.
I would have
maybe that's it.
Loved last episode if we had removed like numbers from your country, if all your stats were just like
just all flatline, or just be a shade of whatever, or just
like I don't understand. My lifespan is 6 cucumbers.
Well, no, that's measuring it. You can't do that.
Yeah, but next time it's just a picture of a cat. Just one cat. Like, I don't... Like, you have to interpret, like... Oh, it would have been great. Anyway.
I would like that. Well, this has been another week of A New World Order.
It sure has.
We have debated. If you like what you have heard, continue listening to other episodes. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter, where we are A New World Order and A New World Order Pod. And check out our Patreon at patreon.com/A New World Order.
That's right. I've been Chancellor of the National Council of Saint Australia, Saint C. Weber, dwelling forever towards the future.
It's me, Sebastian. I'm the karate kick one, doing karate kicks for the name of justice. That's us.
Where did that come from?
Did you say that is us or that is sus?
That's us.
Mm.
That is sus.
That is us.
That's sus.
And I've been Andy Schossler, the most supreme, magnificent overlord of everything you ever saw in the great Confederacy of Andropolia, imploring you all, carte blanche, sans plume.
Till next time, you doofuses.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.